and amazed in your presence. There is nothing you cannot do. I stand amazed in your presence. There is joy, peace, and hope. I'm gonna sing it again. I stand amazed in your presence. Yes, Lord. But there is nothing you cannot do. Hallelujah. I stand amazed. Stand amazed in your presence. There is joy, peace, and hope. There's no one like you, Jesus. There's no one like you.
There is nothing you cannot do.
Hey, I stand amazed.
Stand amazed in your presence. There is joy, peace, and hope.
There's no one like you.
There's no one like you, Jesus. There's no one like you
in all the earth.
In all the earth. There's no one like you.
You do glorious things. You're a faith.
Oh.
blessed be your name forever and evermore. We worship you. We thank you, Lord, that there is no limit to what you can do. You are truly the unchanging changer, the God who speaks over everything and can make anything become anything you want. Today we are asking that you will make us the true manifestation of sons, your sons, in the earth. Let every challenge that is before us be knocked down. Let all things be subject to the authority of your eternal, wonderful, glorious name. Thank you that you are our sovereign. And besides you, there is none other. There's no God but you, our God. Thank you, Father. Speak to us tonight and impact and infuse us with your very life. In Jesus' mighty name we ask it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you all. It's good to see you all this wonderful evening. We are together going to continue our journey in the study of the Word of God. We've been talking about the experience of the Israelites and how God started the process of deliverance from bondage for them. We've covered a lot of things, and it is a series that you need to go back and listen to, because there are going to be nuggets, because I've been skipping from one place to the other, not necessarily following the story in a linear perspective, but going, picking a point here, picking a point there, picking a point there, and on and on. Just to settle particular issues that we need to grasp. One of the main things that we have driven home, I believe by now conclusively, is that something needs to die so that change takes place. And I want you to be resolute in your understanding of that particular truth. Because if nothing is changing, you have to, and I'll say it the third time, you have to declare that whatever it is that is blocking you from accomplishing what God says you should have, that it dies and get out of the way. Amen? So God did the same thing with the Israelites. When we've been talking about the plagues that hit Egypt, when we talk about the plague of the blood, the plague of the frogs, the plague of the lice, the plague of the flies, the plague of the death of the livestock, the cows and all the animals, the plague of the boils and sores, the plague of the hail and fire, the plague of the locusts, the plague of darkness that came for 3 days over the land. And that's a remarkable one, the plague of darkness. I didn't talk about that this morning. But there was a plague that went on for 3 days. And remember what I said about the 3 days of sacrifice, of worship in the wilderness, that was a code word for your past, your present, and your future, just like 3 days of Jesus Christ being in the grave and then rising on the third day represented what he was doing to resolve the issues of your past, the issues of your present, and the issues of your future. The 3 days of darkness represent God saying, the enemy shall not be able to see your past, your present, or your future. Oh, my Lord God Almighty, I pray that that word got deep inside of you. Because this was one of the strongest of the plagues. It was a plague that preceded the last and the biggest of all the plagues, the plague of the firstborn. Now, those plagues, what were they about? God said that he wanted to show his power over the gods of Egypt. There were 10 plagues, and there were 10 god or goddesses that the Egyptians worshipped. And each of those plagues challenged and destroyed the controlling influence of that god over the issues that faced the people. And you will know that the Israelites, being there for 400 plus years, have already started borrowing some of these gods and worshiping them because they really did not know Jehovah. Moses came to reveal Jehovah to them. So God got rid, first of all, the god called Hapi. That was the Egyptian god of the Nile by the blood plague. When Moses and Aaron went there and they tapped on the water of the Nile and it turned to blood, God was dealing with that god. Got that one out of the way. So he went on to the next one, Heket. Heket is the goddess of fertility, of water, and renewal. He messed it up with the frogs jumping all over the place and sending the frogs into the water and stinking up everything. Somebody say, God is God. He wanted to kill every single one of them and their capacity to function. He passed that one and went after the goddess, the god called Geb. God called Geb. This was the plague of the lice. Because the god Geb was the god of the earth and dust. So he grabbed dust, threw it up, finished that one. But God still had more to go. So he had in the heart of Pharaoh to make sure he goes after the next one called Khepri, with the flies. But God had a bigger agenda when he dealt with Khepri, because he also wanted to deal with Beelzebub, the lord of the flies. And so he made a demarcation and he got Khepri out. Flies everywhere, even on the ground. He was dealing with Khepri. Khepri was the god of creation, the god of the movement of the sun. He controlled times and seasons. He controlled creation in their mind. He controlled rebirth. And that's what the devil tries to control. Control your life, your seasons, your times. And God came there and says, No more. Are you going to create your evil in my camp, in the camp of my family? No, no more, no more. You are not going to bring corruption to them because flies come and they do their thing and bring corruption. No more is that going to happen. You are not going to birth things in their lives anymore. No more. They are in Goshen. Hallelujah. So he dealt with Capri. Then there was the plague of the death of the livestock. God is going to deal there with the god, goddess called Hathor, that they worshipped. Now, you know, the devil is such a liar. Hathor, this goddess, supposedly was the goddess of love and protection. God of love and protection. But when God messed up all of their livestock and they started dying, he was showing to them, where's your protection? Where's the lover of your whatever that is taken care of? It's powerless. Now, it is wise for us to ask a question. The question is, why would anybody be worshiping these things if there wasn't some power behind it? Obviously, they were getting certain results from their sacrifices to these gods or goddesses. But God, our Abba, our Jehovah, was saying, you think that is your source? You think this is what is going to protect you? You think this is what is going to change your season in life? You think? And for us as believers, we've got to come to this understanding that we sometimes carry gods and goddesses, idols in our hearts, and we place our faith in that. And if that's what your faith is based on, it's going to die. May I say to somebody here today and somebody listening to me, you're doing everything, and it's a good thing that you should do all things as unto the Lord. But you think that the job that you are doing right now, that is your source. Don't let God step in there and you lose that job that you think is your source. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but I'm talking to you. If you think that your job is your source, and you are putting all your heart seeking that first, placing it before God, placing it before service, placing it before any direction God is giving to you, you're going to have a rude awakening. If you think your bank, your doctor, your whatever, and I'm coming to that in a moment, you've generated and you are generating idols in your heart that are going to collapse. Because God is not going to let anything that is in the way of you being his son take his place. There shall be no other God besides me or before me. So your place of safety is putting God first. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. So God dealt with Hathor. And then there was the boils and sores. That was the goddess Isis. The goddess Isis was the goddess of medicine and peace. So God says, you're the goddess of medicine and peace. So let's see what's going to happen here. So all of the magicians, the diviners, everyone that worshiped that, even the priests and the magicians that stood before Pharaoh, all of them have boils and they could not do their thing. They're all sick with boils, moving funny. God says, I'm going to deal with all of you. I've not finished yet. I've not finished yet. So he cleans that goddess out of the way. And then he brings hail. Hail was controlled by a goddess called Nut. Nut, the goddess Nut. The goddess Nut was in charge of the skies, took care of the skies, but could not control anything because God was hailing stone, hailstones. I know how hailstones can damage. We had one August the 24th of 2023, this year. In the north end, you should see what hail did. Pounding, wrecking. And that was just little ones. Now, when God talks about hailstones, yes, you know he means business. Animals were being wiped out. Everything that was left to Pharaoh was being cut off. But Bible tells us that certain crop had not come to fruition yet, and so they were not damaged. So he sent locusts to deal with the god called Seth. Now, Seth, interestingly enough, was a twin. Remember I told you about the one that was the goddess of the skies? Now, this one, Seth, is the god of storms. But this time, god of storms, he says, you know what, you, I'm going to deal with differently. I've already released some storm already to show you that I'm in charge. Now, he brings locusts. And Seth couldn't do anything about it. God was still in control. But what has started happening now is that God is doing things ahead of things. Things were speeding up ahead. So whatever he was supposed to do with Seth, he'd already done. Are you with me? Okay. And then there's going to be the next one, Ra. Ra was the god of the sun. S-U-N. So what does God do? He releases darkness for 3 days. And Ra couldn't function. So dark that people stayed in bed. They could not move. They could not go anywhere. Their lanterns could not work in this darkness. This darkness was so dark, Ra couldn't fix it. Now when he'd finished all of that, he left the biggest for last. And next Sunday, I'm going to talk some more about this one. But this, the biggest one, was Pharaoh himself. because the Egyptians believed that Pharaoh was the biggest god. Pharaoh was the son of Ramses here, and he was in charge of everything. There was no god like Pharaoh. And so God says, you know what, Pharaoh? You are going to speak your own demise. You I have saved for last, and I'm going to take care of you. This was the death of the firstborn. God dealing with Pharaoh. Now, that's a list of the different plagues and why. But let's go to Exodus chapter 9 and verse 16 again. We talked about that a little bit this morning. Exodus 9, verse 16. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. What was God's agenda? For his name to be known in all the earth. But he's going to bind this strong man. Because Egypt was the first power at that time, the superpower of its day. Now Egypt has been humiliated, brought to the ground, subdued, subjected to the mighty hand of God, so that the whole earth will hear of what has happened in Egypt and have a fear of God. Because everybody came to Egypt to borrow their gods. The ones that they're going to worship. But God's power was breaking Egypt down. All of its gods. The word of God says, he says, as yet exalted thyself against my people. You challenging my people. And the idea here is this. You challenging my people is you challenging me, because my people and I are one. I belong to them and they belong to me. And you messing with them, that means you messing with me. And that's God's stance today. God is saying about his church, this is my bride. You don't mess with my bread. No, I'm going to have a bride that has no blemish, no spots, no wrinkles. They are my people, and I'm their God. They are one with me, and I'm one with them. And you messing with them is messing with me. And I'm going to show you that you don't mess with me. You just tried to poke me in the eye. I'm going to give you a dirty slap. You're going to let them go. And I'm going to force you to make it happen. Hallelujah. He says, behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as had never been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. This is what I'm going to do. God put an exception in verse 26. It says, just like he did with the flies, he says, but it's not going to happen in Goshen. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. And now Pharaoh, who is so-called God thinks that he is God. Verse 27 tells us the first thing. All this time his heart has been hardened. He's not made any changes at all. But when he is hit so vehemently by this storm that came, the Bible says Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have what? Sinned this time. No, like you've not sinned all these other times. He said, I've sinned this time. The Lord is righteous and I and my people are wicked. You said it. Interesting. God holds back. Verse 27, and Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said, again, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. We're the ones messing up. He's going to make this same statement again in chapter 10 and verse 16. God is forcing him to come to recognize with his own mouth he is wrong. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, this time, in haste, and he said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Not only have I sinned against God, I sinned against you. You are a representative of God, and I've done wrong by you. I have sinned. God is going to cause the world and the forces of darkness to confess. Amen? Jesus is going to be Lord in the heavens, in the earth, and under the earth. His name will be exalted. All the resistance has been God's way of exposing everything that is out there. Do you know that parents wouldn't have known what their children were learning in school if it weren't for COVID? Hello? Are you here? All the stuff that were happening underground, when God allowed that virus. And I remember this first message I preached about the virus. I said, viruses, God asked me a question. Everybody saying, this virus, and this virus. Has anybody asked me yet why I allowed and created viruses? I said, no. Why, Lord? He said, for order. How many of you remember me preaching that message? Anybody here? You remember it? He said, it's for order. To expose things so that things can line up properly. So in the midst of all the confusion, God is busy ordering the steps of his people. Don't think God is not in control. When things seem to be hector scatter all over the place, God still sees order. Hello? He still sees order. In the midst of all the confusion, all the wickedness happening in the world, God sees order. It's us that don't see what God sees. What is happening in our world today in the Middle East is exposing all the anti-Semitism that is in the world. It's flushing it to the surface. It's flushing up to the surface all the corruption in the media. All the corruption. Do you know that there was a CNN correspondent that was going around with those guys while they were busy, the Hamas were busy killing people and roasting kids inside, leaving a living child inside an oven? There was a cameraman picking up all the pictures. No conscience. supposed to be part of the media? The wickedness in the world. How can people be that wicked? How do you cut a child out of the womb, put a child inside, and kill the child? How do you do that? That's got to be weak, demonic. So God is exposing, in the midst of all of this, he's exposing all the nonsense that's there so that people recognize we need God. Because you see, what you don't stop now will come visit you. Everybody will have a taste if they don't repent. God has his agenda. In Exodus 9 and verse 34, while Pharaoh is busy saying, I have sinned, the word of God says, and when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. After he said, I have sinned, when the problem was solved, he says, forget that. That must be a fluke. And God will show people, listen, I don't fluke around. Yeah, I don't fluke around. What I did, you didn't get the lesson? Here comes the next whooping. So that you get the point that I am on the throne, I am God, and you are not. God will deal with leaders that think they are all that. I remember the prophetic word that came about 3 or so years ago, and I was here. I remember walking somewhere around here, and I almost started to bawl for New York. How many of you remember that? I said, New York is coming down. It's coming down. They need to repent. They need to repent because something bad is coming. Lo and behold, the governor at the time came up and said, hey, we're in charge here. God didn't do nothing here in New York. We are in charge of controlling everything concerning COVID. I said, oh, this guy's finished. He's finished. It wasn't even 6 months. It wasn't even 6 months. The almighty Cuomo, down. His brother that was on CNN, down. The city is falling apart. New York right now is broke. They still haven't learned. But God is saying, listen, don't mess with me. You're not all that. You think you are, but you're not all that. One blow, you finished. So don't mess with me. We are dealing with a God who is not going to be messed with. When God gets up and says, it's war, it's finished. Who are you? You know, it's like we used to say years ago back in Nigeria, who born monkey? Who are you? You think you're going to mess with me? God says, listen, I'm going to mess with you and cause this to become a message to everybody else. I'm going to send an alert. Don't mess with my church. Too much. Stop it. Don't mess. I remember many years ago, God gave me a word. He said he wanted to address the nation, and I came to this pulpit and I began to prophesy. And he sent me, he said, send a message to all of the members of parliament and members of the legislative assembly across this nation, and I sent it. And one of the MPs, was the leader of the NDP. His name was Layton. He wrote back, and he said to me in his letter, based on what you have said, I'm going to make some changes. He was the only one who responded. Sent a note to the prime minister at that time. His name keeps on escaping me. Paul Martin? Yeah, Paul Martin. I said, if you don't repent, you're going to be fired twice in one day. The guy didn't take me seriously, of course. Who is that? I'm sure they investigated to find out who was that guy that was shooting his mouth off, and they checked 1296 Main Street and said, some little church over there, you know, they have a big hall, but, you know, it's in doubt, not end. Forget it. He was riding up in the polls. Harper was nowhere. They had a vote of no confidence, and they called an election. He was riding up in the polls. I remember I was out of the country, and while I was still out of the country, his poll numbers were high. By the time I stepped back into the country, something had changed. Flip. They say tumbling. On election day, Paul Martin was nowhere to be found. Harper was now prime minister, and Paul Martin, is no longer prime minister, and with his own mouth, he resigned from being the leader of the Liberal Party. I said, I told you, you're going to be fired twice in one day. God can bring leaders who are riding high down. You think you're going to mess with my people? I'm going to bring you down. We're going to settle this matter. I'm going to get you so busy with stuff in your family, busy with stuff around you, that you will not have the brain to even think about running. I'm going to stop you. I'm not just speaking words. I'm prophesying as I'm talking right now. There are too many big heads that need to fall off, because God is going to have his church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here comes Pharaoh. He's going to start negotiating. He says in the book of Exodus, chapter 10 and verse 7. Pharaoh's servant come to him and they said, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go. Notice the statement. It says, let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? Pharaoh, don't you know that Egypt is destroyed? Let the men go. Notice who they did not say should go. They didn't say the women should go. They didn't say the children should go. Let the men go. We're all getting destroyed. Let the men go. No. So that was the plan. So they call, and they ask, who is it that needs to go? In Exodus 10 and verse 9, Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. In other words, we're all going. You all want to go? Yes. So Pharaoh does this. The word of God says, and said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones. That's the first statement. I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to let you go with your children. Look to it, for evil is before you. And then he switches. Now, first of all, let the men go means, let the men go, but the men are not going to go, and the children, their wives, all men, for 3 days. No. Okay. We'll let everybody go. We'll let you go, the men and the children. No wives called. What is happening in the world today with the hostages? We'll let this bunch go and we'll keep this. But God wants all that have been held hostage by the powers of darkness. He wants them all free. Somebody shout hallelujah. He says, for evil is before you. But watch this turn around. He says, not so. No, no. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord. For that ye did desire. Who desired it? It was his servants that said that. It was never Moses or Aaron. This is a plan of the enemy where he gives to you his idea and says his idea is your idea. Not every thought that you think is your thought. Let me say that again. Not every thought that you think is your thought. Let me say the third time. Not every thought that you think is your thought. The enemy wants you to think that you are the one who's thinking that. Tell him, I never thought that. That was never my thought. That was never my plan. Get out of here. I have the mind of Christ. Hey, look at her. Isn't she so beautiful? Wouldn't you like to have that? No, I didn't think that. You're the one thinking that. Oh, look at that handsome man. Oh, he's amazing. Oh, won't you want some of that? No, I didn't think that. That was not my thought. Oh, look at that nice shiny ring in there. Huh? Nobody's looking. Why don't you just swipe it? And nobody will know. It was not even your thought. It was the devil's thought. Oh, take this. It was not your thought. Not every thought that you think is yours. And child of God, if you know that that thought is not a thought that glorifies God, banish it. Because the enemy will want to say, that's your desire. You desired it. No, never had that discussion. Never had that thought. What I wanted is that I will serve the Lord with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my being. I'm going to honor God in every area of my life. The name of the Lord will be exalted in me and through me. That's my thought. Where did this foolish thought come from? You're serving God. You're becoming a fanatic. No. I'm loving God more. I'm not a fanatic. Separate the mind of the enemy from yours. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So God changed things on Pharaoh. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 10, starting to read from verse 24, the enemy is still negotiating. This is the last part. When you see the enemy trying to negotiate, what about this? Why don't we try this? Know that you are close to your freedom. Negotiate nothing with the enemy. Be firm. Know what God said and stick with it. I remember many years ago when we were buying our very first house. I don't have time to tell the whole story. But the Lord had spoken to us about how much He wanted to pay. Because we asked God, how much do you want to pay for this house? God gave us a figure. The figure happened to be close to, I think it was about $60,000 less than the asking price. There was a man that was living in the house that offered more. And Mama and I were in her office upstairs when we got a call from the real estate agent. The real estate agent said, do you mind sweetening the pot a little bit? The seller would like to see if you can give more. And we said to the real estate agent, not a dime more. We were not negotiating. We were firm. And this Jewish man, elderly man, who's a lawyer, accepted our offer and threw out the offer of somebody that was living in the house, paying rent, who'd offered him $40,000 or so more. And we get the house. They are kicked out because there is a God who reigns supreme in the earth. We had given him, he asked us for his money. That's what God asked me. He said, I want my money from the bank. It was right in front of the bank, TD Bank. And it was the money that we've been saving for years. 4 years we've been saving it. And it wasn't that much. And God says he wants his money. So we entered the bank account and brought the money and was part of what helped us cross over. It actually paid the legal fees, the lawyer fees. Because on the day of escrow, we needed to have so much money. God provided in the last minute, so to speak, what we needed. But I had never bought anything like that before. And now they were asking us for other payments. And we had it. It was the money that we had in the bank account. Exactly what was needed. And there it was. That's how we stepped into this place on April the 15th. God was in control. He's never lost control. Don't let the devil lie to you. But the enemy will like to negotiate. So the Bible tells us in Exodus 10 and 24, it says, and Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. We'll let you go. Take your children with you. But leave the sacrifice. Leave it. Don't take the sacrifice. Because Pharaoh now had no sacrifice, no livestock. All his livestock are gone, the dead. The only livestock in Egypt was in Goshen. The economy had crashed. The only people that had the money, the sacrifice, were in Goshen. The only people that had the resources were in the church. God said, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. And the desire of the nations shall come to you in Haggai chapter 2. He said, because the silver and the gold is mine. You're going to have it. They are not going to have it. Hallelujah. You're looking at me funny. How is that going to happen? Yeah, the reason you think that's not going to happen is because the world has had it for so long. But it's our turn. Hallelujah. There is a shift coming. Amen. Because the economy of this world is going to collapse. But the people who love God, who are seeking first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, God is going to add to them resources from every corner. It's going to come. It's going to be handed over. Somebody listening, it's going to be handed over. Praise the Lord. The flock of the Egyptians are all gone. Now he says, you go. Now, how are the Israelites going to go have a sacrifice in the wilderness without the livestock? How are they going to go serve God without the resources? The devil's a liar. Go to church. You don't have to give. You don't have to this. Just keep your money at your house. Because if you don't keep it at your house, you know, that sweet silver-tongued pastor is going to talk you out of your money. It's a lie of the devil. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So here, the response is, our cattle also shall go with us. And he says, Moses says, there shall not an hoof be left behind. Not a hoof. All of them are coming out. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come hither. We don't know what God is going to require of us until we get there. So everything is coming with us. And if he wants all of it, he has all of it. If he wants part of it, he gets part of it. Whatever it is he wants, he gets. But everything that we've got is coming with us. We're not leaving anything behind. And here comes the Lord. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he will not let them go. And Pharaoh, watch this. This is where God finalizes it. God doesn't go halfway. He said, and Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me. Take heed to thyself. I'm warning you. See my face no more. For in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. Is that it? And the response of Moses is so right on. Moses said, thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more. You said it. I'm not going to see you anymore because there's no more negotiating. There's not going to be a reason for negotiating anymore. There's no discussing this anymore. It's finished. I'm not going to see you anymore. And he says, and the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. He's going to say, get out of here, get out of here. You're killing us, get out of here. What is God going to do? Oh. God says, before this last plague, get your women to go right through this entire nation of Egypt. Get them to collect from their madams, their mistresses, their neighbors, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. Collect everything. Collect all the collectibles. Guess what? The women knew where the woman of the house was hiding all the jewelry. You know, when a woman is set, watch out. Because men can be talked out of some stuff. But a woman with a mind made up, are you kidding me? Oh, give me that. Something's missing from this. I saw you with a nice earring, with nice rubies and stuff the other day when you went to that party. Where is it? Where is it? It's not here. Bring it now. Bring it now. And God had stirred in the hearts of those Egyptians to give them everything. Everything. Whatever it is they asked for, they got. Everything. And God went after the last. He deals with the firstborn. He deals with the firstborn and gets rid of the firstborn. In Egypt, Pharaoh's son, his servant sons, everybody. There was not a house that was not addressed. The firstborn of the pussycat died. Firstborn of the dog, dead. Firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the meal, dead. All the firstborn of beasts, dead. God was dealing with Pharaoh. He started, and he's going to finish it at the Red Sea. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, one more thing that I need to say. And I'm going to pray for tonight. And there's still more to say, but it's sufficient for me to go to the finale next Sunday to give you the real reason behind what God has been talking to us about. The Bible tells us about the locust. The plague of the locust. It's something I want you to see concerning this one. The Word of God says in Exodus chapter 10, I'm going to start from verse 4, and I'm going to look at verse 9 in particular, and that's where I'm going to wrap for today. He He's told, he says, else if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locusts into thy coast. And they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth. And they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field. And they shall fill thy houses and the houses of all thy servants and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor thy father's father have seen since the day that they were upon the earth unto this day. And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's servant said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh. And he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you. We've covered all of that. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye desire, and they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Violence takes place here. All this time, they've not laid a hand on Aaron or Moses, but now they grab Aaron or Moses and they haul them out. And the Lord said, stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all that that the hail had left. I want you to see something here. Pharaoh says, you can go. And angrily pushes them out. And God did not stop. God still commanded for the locusts to come. There comes a time when God has had it and says, you're repenting? You're going to do what I said now? But even though you're trying to do what I said, I'm going to show you that you don't grab me and haul me. Because whoever it is that is grabbing Aaron and Moses and tossing them out like they were a bag of, I don't know, hay or whatever, God took that personal. And anybody that messes with you as a son, a daughter of God, a God has raised up by his Spirit, in this last of the last days, they're about to experience a rude awakening. Oh, it's not that the enemy is not going to try. He's going to try. But the time has changed. Something has changed. And God is saying, I'm fed up with it. I'm not going to take it no more. You want to fight? You smacked me this way. I turned the other side. You smacked me. Now you're spitting on me. Now you've done all this. Now you want to poke me in the eye. I've had enough. Put them up. Put them up. And I believe that as a people of God, we are going to watch God fighting for his people. God doing extraordinary things and stopping the wild animals that think with all of their connections and the systems and whatever else that they think they have all power over you, over me, over the church. The church of Jesus Christ is going to be supernaturally raised up in this last of the last days to showcase the awesome power of God like never before. So it is done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank God for every one of you that have listened to the preaching of the word this series, and you being here tonight to share this wonderful time. May God's goodness and God's mercy follow us all the days of our lives. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone here that needs to make a commitment to God from a pure heart? Say, God, I want you to come into my life and lead me in the way that I ought to go. I want to see the fullness of the demonstration of your power in my life and everything that concerns me. I turn my life over to you. If it's anyone like that, just raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come up, but I want to just pray for and with you before you leave tonight. Anybody like that? Well, praise God. Everyone has made that commitment to the Lord already, and that's an exciting thing to know. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. It is still Mission Sunday. And if you have not given for missions, I encourage you to connect in your giving in that regards also. So give your regular offering and give something for missions. Amen. We're going to have the early part of the year, two major crusades. One is going to be up north in God's River, God's Narrow, Oxford Lake, Oxford House, Island Lakes, God's Lakes Narrow, I think it's Narrows it's called. All of that whole area. People are going to come through the winter roads from all of these communities to God's River, and we're expecting God's move in that particular crusade. And let's start giving whatever it is we can, you know, towards that end, and pray about that particular time. God will do something extraordinary in that community. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's come and give, and we'll close in prayer in just a moment. Heavenly Father, speak over our offering. Breathe upon it. Multiply our seed sown. cause this your place to be the place where your people experience an abundance, indescribable abundance in every area of their lives. Let not one weak, let not one feeble cross over. For Lord, O God, heal, restore, and make everyone whole. Let mindsets that are not of you die. Let there be a resurgence of grace in all of our lives. You said to us as we started this new year, remember me. Lord, we say, remember me. We come to your rest. We come into your abundance. And we say, Father, let your kingdom come and your will on earth be done as it is in heaven. Let it be said of us, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. This is the day that you've made for us to rejoice and be glad. And we beseech you now, send now prosperity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Be blessed and be highly favored. Enjoy the goodness of God. And we'll see you leaders on Wednesday and on Friday. Because the first Wednesday and first Friday is specifically set aside for those that are in leadership, those that are leading or serving in this house. Those are the ones that are allowed to be participants in those two meetings, the first Wednesday and first Friday. Okay, so I'll see leaders and workers on Wednesday and on Friday. And of course, we'll be together again on Sunday for another wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. May God keep you. May God strengthen you. May God uphold you with his right hand of righteousness. And may you know victory this week and every week, every day, henceforth. God bless you. I've not seen my sister here for a long time.